Good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you come together with me to ask God to help us listen to this morning message? Let us go to God in prayer as we prepare our hearts for the sharing of His Word. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask of You to grant us a listening heart to hear Your word this morning. We pray that our hearts and minds be focused on You. May Your Spirit guide me in delivering Your word and ministering to Your people in today's message. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a year and a month and 6 days since I joined PSBC last July. Isn't it fast? It has also been a year plus since I left school chaplaincy ministry in Kuo Chuan Presbyterian Primary School. 2 weeks ago, we had seen a video on Kuo Chuan Presbyterian Primary School. It brought familiarity to me when I saw the video. It also brought back fond memories. I was there for 15 years in the school since 2004, serving in the school chaplaincy ministries. Someone said to me when I recounted my previous ministry in Kuo Chuan to him, he said, "Can see that you still have a heart for the school children." What do people normally say before they leave an organization or a department? What do people normally say to their loved ones when they leave their home country and move over to another? What do people normally say when they say their final goodbyes to their loved ones? I remember my parting words to Kuo Chuan students before I left them. I said, "It's time for Auntie Carol to level up my adventure in life and my service to God. I'm moving on from Kuo Chuan to the next level in my life adventure." I told them that I was very thankful to God that I could share my life adventures with them. I shared with them that though I would miss them, I hope that they will remember the sharing from the devotion and values education, which is also known as the chapel. If they can't remember anything, I hope they will remember three things before I leave them. That, slide please. That God loves you, oops, sorry. That God loves you, Jesus loves you, and we love you too. In addition to the parting words, I also left a parting music with them. I played "Jesus Loves You" on a kalimba, a modern version of an African instrument. A very raw attempt because I am not musically inclined or trained. My raw attempt as I learned it during the circuit breaker days. Besides the parting words, parting music, I also left a parting prayer in the form of a song. I told them, "Although I am saying goodbye to all of you now, it is not a forever goodbye. But until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hands." The parting song is also a parting prayer for them that reveals my heart for Kuo Chuan students. My parting prayer for them was that they will know wherever they go, God is there for them. They just have to trust and follow God in their life's adventure. Until we meet again, may they know that God will hold them in the palm of His hands when they trust and follow God in their lives. My parting words and prayer spoke of my heart for the Kuo Chuan student. Sorry. My farewell words and prayer reveal my heart for the students and the Kuo Chuan community, that the God of hope will fill them with great joy and peace as they trust in Him, and that they know the Lord will take care of them in good times and even in bad times. I won't forget my time in Kuo Chuan. I won't forget the little ones in Kuo Chuan. I won't forget their smile, their laughter and tears, and also especially when they sang their hearts out during devotion and chapel. Jesus won't forget his own. Jesus won't forget his own even when he was on his way to the cross. Jesus won't forget his own even when he knew his time on physical earth was going to come to an end and he was on his way to the cross. Jesus won't forget his own even when he knows the hour has come for him. The hour has come. Jesus begins his departure prayer by declaring, "Father, the hour has come." The hour has come. Jesus' hour has come. What does it mean? The expression, "the hour has come," or "the time has come," includes 9 references to Jesus' hour. The 2 slides that we're going to show you, the hour has not yet come in John, various verses, and John, and the hour has come. Next slide. At numerous times in John's Gospel, we read that the Jesus' hour had not yet come, so that his enemies were forbidden to lay hold of him. The hour to which Jesus has now come was the hour of his glorification to take place through his death and subsequent exaltation in his resurrection. The hour has come, meaning Jesus' work on earth has completed. Jesus' farewell prayer reveals his heart for the glory of God the Father. Jesus' departure prayer begins with prayer to God the Father and his request for glorification, that God will glorify him and he may glorify God the Father. Verse 1 says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Jesus has glorified the Father through his finished work. Verse 4 says, "I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." The glory of his love and compassion for others might be revealed through his death and resurrection. Jesus talked about glorification also when he will be reinstated to the glory he enjoyed with the Father before the world began. Verse 5 says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." The purpose of the prayer request was that the Father would be glorified by the Son, that God's wisdom, power and love might be known through Jesus. So the chief end of Jesus' saving work, that is our salvation, is for the glory of God the Father. Believers too are to glorify God. This is the chief end of men. In Westminster's larger catechism says, "What is the chief and highest end of men?" Answer is, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy him forever. The chief and highest end for man is to glorify God and fully to enjoy him forever. However, Christians can become overly concerned with ourselves when we forget that the chief and highest aim of man is to glorify God. We forget the chief end of our salvation is God's glory. Have we been overly concerned with ourselves that we forget that the chief end of our salvation is God's glory? It is not our glory, it is God's glory. We forget to glorify God when we become discontented with life, especially in the midst of trials or setbacks, which obscure our focus on God. Jesus prays about glorification, that his obedience in this hour will truly bring glory to God. Mark Johnston points out, it was authored on the eve of the greatest event of history, is found in conjunction with the greatest message ever heard in history, and its contents involve the greatest experience that history can ever provide. Furthermore, every sentence within the prayer is bound up with the honor and glory of God. John 17 gives us a glimpse into the heart of Jesus for his own. The parting prayer came after the farewell discourse, the farewell speech of John chapter 13, verse 31 to chapter 16, verse 33, in which Jesus prepared his disciples for his departure before the road to the cross and exaltation. That is, the prayer is uttered just prior to Jesus' arrest, before his betrayal, trial, and crucifixion and exaltation. Jesus' parting prayer started his prayer on his own concerns before God, verse 1 to 6, thereafter concerns for the church and his future. Jesus prays for his own. Jesus won't forget his own, even as he was on the way to the cross. Jesus' parting prayer spoke of his heart for his own. Jesus' farewell prayer revealed his heart for his disciples and those who believe in him. Jesus prays for his own. In verse 2, it says, he speaks of believers, his own, as the people whom you have given him. 5 times in this prayer, verse 2, verse 6, verse 9, verse 24. In verse 6, there are twice that it mentioned that Jesus referred to his own. Jesus won't forget his own. Jesus intercedes for his own. Jesus said to God the Father, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Next slide. Yes. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who have believed in me through their word. His prayer is not for the world, but for those whom God has given Jesus because they belong to God. He prayed for his disciples and those who believe through their sharing of the gospel. Jesus prayed to God the Father, they are yours. Who are those who belong to God? Who are they? Verse 6 to verse 8 says, the people of Christ are those to whom Jesus manifested the Father's name, whom Christ took out of the world, who have kept God's word, and who received Jesus as the one sent from God. Why did Jesus pray for his own? Because they belong to the Father and given to Jesus by the Father. And verse 10 says, I am glorified in them. So how is Jesus glorified in his people? A, Jesus is glorified in his work of grace for our salvation. B, Jesus is glorified in his people as they lead holy lives and perform good works. C, Jesus is glorified by our confession of faith. D, Jesus is glorified by our work to extend his kingdom. Jesus prays for his own. Jesus intercedes for his own. Jesus said to God the Father, they are yours. Jesus prayed, Jesus intercedes for his own. His own are those who belong to God from eternity past that God has given him. Jesus won't forget his own. Many years ago, 2 newcomers or visitors came to my former church, Living Praise Presbyterian Church, on Sunday. The service had started, but they didn't come in. They just stood outside the sanctuary, away from the main glass entrance. I saw them and went up to them and invited them in, though the service had long started. The two ladies hesitated. I could sense from the non-verbal that they wished to step in, but their bodies didn't move. I inquire further. I said, "Is there anything that is stopping you from coming in?" To my surprise, one of the ladies said, "I'm too sinful to come in." My heart broke, especially when I saw that their posture or hesitation. I said to them in quiet firmness that no sin is too great that Jesus can't forgive. I saw that the lady who spoke was visually moved. Did they enter? No, they didn't. She was too stricken by her guilt. But I saw that the lady who spoke was moved beyond words, though she let her hesitation stop her from coming to church that day. I pray and hope that she will once again open her heart to God's truth. She will be assured of her salvation that Jesus brings, which will set her free from condemnation, from despair, and from doubts. Jesus prays for his own and said to God, "They are yours." That is, they belong to God, who call on the name of Jesus, believe in his name. Jesus is interceding for us. He prays for his own. His own, whom Jesus manifested God's name to his own. Jesus said to God the Father, "They are yours." What are we saying to ourselves when doubts of faith come at our door? What are our thoughts when despair of faith enters our hearts? Jesus won't forget his own. Jesus prays for his own. He intercedes for those who belong to him from eternity past. We receive salvation through faith alone because Christ accomplished our salvation by his works, fulfilling a covenant with the Father that was sealed in eternity past. If you are struggling with sin or inflicted with guilt or shameful conscience, that you are guilty beyond forgiveness, take heed of what Jesus said to God the Father. They are yours. He called you his own. And Jesus is interceding for us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." Jesus also prays for our oneness. He intercedes for our oneness. Before he departs from the world, Jesus' concern for his followers is that they will stay united against the world, against the corruption of the world. Jesus' plea in verse 11 says, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Verse 20 says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one." Jesus' farewell prayer reveals his heart for his own. So he appeals to God the Father before he departs the world to watch over and protect them, placing their salvation into the care of the Father while he departs to take up the cross. "Holy Father, Keep them in your name, he pleads. Jesus prays for his own because he's concerned for their protection against the danger of the world. Jesus prays for his own because he's concerned with the corrupting influence of the worldliness on his people. Do you know how attractive the world is? Oops. Do you know how evil the world is? Or how ugly the world is? The gossip, the backstabbing, the lies, what have you? Or the colors of the world? Fame, power, lust, pride. Do you follow the world or do you follow God? Do you let the world influence you or do you let God reign in your life? Is it God's way or my way? Is it God's way or the way of the world? What are the things of the world that attract or distract you from being one with God? I was in the corporate world for a while after my graduation, dealing with marketing and mostly on marketing research. I was a newbie in a corporate world, trying to survive in the world of office politics and trying to follow the norm in the office. The office culture was to follow what the boss says or wanted, especially in the areas of integrity was at stake. We follow, although it crosses our integrity. We follow her because that's our bread and butter. Our bread and butter was at stake. We slogged for hours, but we all knew that it was wrong. One day, I had to make a choice. God's reputation of integrity or my bread and butter. I chose God's reputation of integrity. It was not an easy choice for a young graduate, and the economy back then was quite bad. However, I remember why I chose to leave. It was for God's honor. I believe God would honor me when I chose not the world, but God, His way, not the way of the world. And He did. He blessed me more than I could imagine. That's another story of my testimony. I wish it would be another day. Jesus also intercedes for our oneness as believers in the family of God. He intercedes our oneness. He appeals to God to protect us from division and disharmony among the family in church. He prays that they may be one even as we are one. Jesus prays for unity of spirit among his people. Christian will be able to mutually edify one another and thus a witness to the world. How is your mutual edification? How is your mutual encouragement in the church, in the family of God? Do you let the devil take a foothold of your weakness and break the unity, the harmony in church, the unity among brothers and sisters in Christ? What is the worldly influence that penetrates your heart and spirit, which break the unity in the church? What is the worldly influence that penetrates in the church? Does the KPI of the world set the standards for the church? Or is love, his love, grace, forbearance, or gentleness sets the tone for the church, for you and I? How does the church environment differ from the worldly environment, the office environment? How does our church differ from the societal do's and don'ts? Jesus intercedes for our oneness. Jesus prays for our oneness in church. Jesus prays for our oneness Just like God and Him are one. Though we struggle in the world, we know that Jesus is now in heaven praying for His own in the world so that their faith will hold firm. Are you faithful to God? Is it tough to persevere in the world with worldly habits, thoughts, speech, or words? It is also tough to persevere in the world when we go solo, without the community of faith. The danger of going solo is when we are not in the community of faith, because isolated Christians are vulnerable to the world and to sin. When they are not in the community of faith, not gathering together, not coming together for fellowship, for Bible study, for prayer. Jesus prays that His people will stay together in the world. Christian unity may be compared to the tuning of violins in an orchestra. I don't play music instrument, but he says, the violins are tuned to one another because they are each tuned to the same tuning fork. Believers are likewise gain oneness not by striving for unity, KPI, but by focusing on Christ. We are tuned to one another by each drawing near to the same Savior. A.W. Tozer says, notes, so 100 worshippers met together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. True believers strive to look away from themselves but look towards God for unity. True believers will persevere because of God's faithfulness in keeping them. Jesus intercedes for His own. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He desires for His disciples to stay united, the oneness that He shares with God the Father. His desire for disciples' oneness so that they will not be battled or won over by the world. Jesus won't forget His own. He intercedes for them so that they will stand and persevere to the end. Jesus also prays for our sanctification. What is sanctification? It is to be holy, to be set apart for God. How then can we remain holy in God? His truth will set us apart from the evil of this world. Being sanctified means the person will only do what God wants and hate all that God hates. The person will only do what God wants and hate all that God hates. That is what it means to be holy. Because God is holy. So do you do what God wants and hate all that God hates? Do you desire to be more holy? Do you desire your life to make an eternal difference in our present world? Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus stresses that God's word creates holiness within His people. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification comes through the truth of God's word. Jesus prays for His own, that God Himself will sanctify His people through the truth of His word, and His Holy Spirit will work with us with sanctifying power so that we can experience more and more of His light and shine more brightly the light of Jesus Christ in the dark world. So how can we be aligned with God and not aligned with the world? By knowing His word and let His word transform our lives. His word will set us apart to do His work, to be His witnesses in the world, set apart to continue Jesus' ministry to the world. Verse 18 says, "As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world." Jesus intercedes for us. He intercedes for our sanctification to do God's will, to continue Jesus' ministry to the world. Jesus won't forget His own. Jesus won't forget His own. He prayed for you and I and the whole church. Jesus intercedes for His own. Jesus prayed that all believers may be perfected so as to see Jesus' glory. The heart of Jesus' final prayer, farewell prayer, is to those who have believed in Him, the elect. He intercedes for His disciples. He intercedes for those who will believe in Him. Jesus won't forget His own, and He is interceding for us now. Jesus won't forget His own as He intercedes for His own, for our oneness, for our sanctification, and that His own will see the glory the Father has given Him. May we glorify God in our worship to Him. "Come as you are," Jesus said to God the Father. "They are